Yeah, good evening. This is Love Sport Radio with your West Ham United fan show on a big weekend for the Hammers. Three big points in the northeast, which sees Manuel Pellegrini's side just move away a little bit further away in terms of points from the relegation zone, sitting 15 points now in 13th position in the Premier League. It's one defeat in their last five. And talking all things West Ham with me tonight is James Jones from West Ham World.
How you doing?
All right, pal. And it's Will Pugh.
Again.
He's back. Love is love.
How are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Love is love.
You like the hat.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. Chaps, let's look back at a big win for the Hammers. I mean, first and foremost, who saw it coming? You know, 3-0 away in Newcastle. It's a notoriously tough place to go. Don't get me wrong. They're not in the greatest form. They've got issues. But you can always guarantee that the Newcastle fans are going to try and, you know, get behind their side. They're not, you know, the sort of fans who will just sit and stay quiet. But West Ham were effective and you got three massive points.
You say that, but they'd won three on the bounce before we turned up at their place, and we'd won three Premier League games there in the Premier League era before Saturday. And I really feared for us, and I know I was quietly confident on last week's show, but I did fear for us a little bit. I did think that given the form that they're in, you know, they've had all their issues, you know, there's all that hoo-ha that, you know, they didn't, you know, Benitez didn't get the money that he wanted to bring in the players that he wanted. But then they won three on the bounce coming into our game, and I just thought, we're going to be in trouble here. You know, we could be in a little bit of a hiding because they're in form. But then their fans have done a bit of a protest, and the first 11 minutes they've not decided to turn up, and then they turn up just as we scored the first goal.
It's nice for us to do that for a change as well, isn't it?
It is.
We were slightly against a run of play, but for us to get an early goal, just quell anything and put the home team under pressure, don't see that too often, do you? And it was quite nice to see that.
We were saying before that it's nice to see us being more clinical than the opposition for once.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen.
Rafa Benitez has blamed the differences between two sides on transfer budgets. How accurate do you think that is?
Well, I know a couple of Newcastle fans, and they both said that directly after the game, before Benitez's quotes had come out. They both went, you know, when you've got Felipe Anderson, who costs more than our entire squad, you know, there's no wonder he beat us 3-0.
And even Hernandez's wages as well.
Yeah, but I don't really buy it because, you know, Cardiff beat Wolves on Friday night, and Wolves squad cost a hell of a lot more than Cardiff's team, but Cardiff beat them.
It's just an easy excuse, isn't it?
It's an easy excuse. Now, we rode our luck at times, but they just weren't clinical in front of goal, and we were for once. So you've got to celebrate that, and it's a great win. Only our fourth win at St James's Park in the Premier League era, and you got to see that as a real indicator that, you know, the players are really beginning to buy into what Pellegrini wants to do at the club. And, you know, it does make you a little bit excited about what we could go and do. Because to go to Newcastle, St James Park, not an easy place to go for any team. To go there and win 3-0 is, you know, is no mean feat. So it does make you a little bit excited about what we can go and achieve under Pellegrini.
Well, we've scored once there in our last four visits.
There you go.
And the last win was a 1-0 scrappy win in November 2012, Kevin Nolan. But you're right. We were talking last week, weren't we? So after the City game, saying these next run of games, you know, it's so important. It's going to define our season, that sort of thing. And then it's the perfect start, isn't it?
Couldn't have done
anything better.
And do you know what? Even if we'd have lost that, I would have still gone, okay, it starts against Cardiff on Tuesday, that run of games starts. Because Newcastle, regardless of, you know, where they are in the league, it's always a tough place to go for us anyway. So now we've got 3 points that we didn't really expect to get. You know, we can go into Cardiff tomorrow night on Tuesday night and be really, really confident that we can get another 3 points. It's back-to-back wins.
Yeah, that's it.
And then Palace on Saturday. Okay, Palace got a good win at the weekend, but away from home, they're not too pretty. So it's a brilliant start to that run of fixtures.
Yeah, it's just nice to get that boost, get that platform, and then even with the next six or seven you're looking at now up to the FA Cup, I think tomorrow night might be a bit more of a difficult game because at least when you go away to places, we'll probably find that over the next period of time that teams are obviously expected to come at us a lot more, aren't they?
Yeah.
And that leaves far more space for your Andersons and Arnautovic and, you know, Snoddy to like capitalise on, doesn't it? And I think it's going to be a different game tomorrow night, to be honest.
I think we're going to have to get used to just being patient under Pellegrini against teams like Cardiff. I mean, we'll talk about Warnock's comments a little bit later on, but he's been raving about us and about our attacking line. And so, you know, we have to be patient on Tuesday night, but because they're going to sit back. They're probably going to play for a point.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And, you know, we need to show that Pellegrini spoken in the past about us trying to be a big team, play like a big team. And tomorrow night, I think we're going to see a little bit of that and just see whether we can play like a big team. Be patient, you know, wear them down a little bit and then, you know, be clinical when we need to be. We showed that we can be clinical against Newcastle, but it's whether we can do that at home.
How good was it to see Javier Hernandez back scoring? You know, this is a guy we've talked about loads on these shows. Someone who, let's be fair, hasn't exactly lit up the scene in a West Ham United shirt. Someone who's got a reputation for being, you know, a world-class finisher, but just hasn't shown it. And just watching him, it looked like he's back to his best.
It's nice, isn't it? Because we've been giving him a bit of stick, perhaps, or certainly talking around his wages and his salary, which is an easy stick to beat anyone with when you're one of the highest earners at any club, isn't it? And we've been talking about that a lot recently with some of the unrest and the comments that have come out. But all you can do is turn up on a Saturday. If you bang two in and you win 3-0, all of that goes away, at least until the next poor performance or the next under par performance, perhaps.
Yeah, I was quite surprised to see that he went with both of them.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised to see him on the starting lineup. But, you know, it was only 2 weeks ago that we were on the phone with Marlon Harewood on this show, and, you know, Marlon Harewood was adamant that there was no issue in the dressing room with Hernandez and that he wanted to be there. And he showed on Saturday that he's committed. You know, if he gets his chance, he's going to take it. He's banged in two goals. He could have had about four or five. He missed a couple of chances. And, you know, it's great to see. My only worry is that he hits a bit of form and then suddenly we're forced to sell him in January. That's the big worry, because then how do you replace someone who's in form like that? Because, you know, at some point, I think Arnautovic is going to need to be rested because of the injury that he's playing with. We're going to have to rely on Hernandez.
That is still a bit of a what-if at this stage, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Obviously, you know, we are quick to jump on players at West Ham when they're not putting shifts in, but great to see him score the two. And you've got to hope that he will now. Hopefully that'll push on. He obviously did miss a couple at the weekend, and there's been some sort of talk around that. But if he pushes on into January, it leaves Pellegrini's not going to want to see him walk out the door at all, is he?
I mean, if we go into January and he scored another three or four, then the club are going to go, you're not going anywhere, mate. You know, it doesn't matter whether you want to leave or not. You have to wait till the summer because we're going to need you. Because you can't replace, we've said it before, like with Arnautovic, you know, whether he's going to stay or go. You can't replace players like that in January.
No, and there's still enough time, isn't there, between now and then to see if that was just a flash in the pan, if you
like.
Yeah,
yeah.
Plenty of time to see what it's all about. Good to see Andy Carroll back on the bench once again. Didn't quite make it onto the field. Very, very, very quickly, Jack Wilshere got 5 minutes.
Got an assist.
Yeah.
It's good to see him back. You know, we said last week, you know, we questioned how he would fit into that starting lineup. You know, he's come off the bench and made an impact. He looked all right. Whether that's just his role between now and the new year and we'll go from there, I don't know. But I think he might have to settle for that, because, you know, if we're playing that well with that starting 11, you know, you got to stick with it now.
Yeah, or whether he wasn't fully ready for 90, or it was just because that's probably the reason. But we weren't sure whether he was going to walk straight back in, were we? But he's come off a five at the end. There's no way. Obviously, there looks like there might be a couple of enforced changes for tomorrow, doesn't there?
Yeah.
But really, you can't see him. You can't see him walking back into that 11 for tomorrow.
It'll be an impact off the bench, won't he? Yes. Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, it's good to see him back and you know, and making an impact straight away.
Can only be a good thing, really, can't it?
Yeah.
At this sort of stage.
Yeah, let's take a pause. Of course, we're going to have the FA Cup third round draw popping up a little bit later on. Plenty more on the way, though. We're talking all things West Ham until 9 o'clock this evening.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio. Your fan station.
Yeah, good evening. This is Love Sport Radio with your West Ham United fan show. Plenty on the way this evening. But first, it's always a delight to welcome on former West Ham United defender, Mr. Tony Gale, onto the show. Tony, good evening.
Good evening, Aaron. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Very well, thanks. Good to have you on board once again. Now, of course, the only place to start, really, is at St. James's Park from Saturday. What a result for West Ham.
Yeah, I wasn't as surprised as many people were because although Newcastle had had some good results of late, having studied the games against Bournemouth and Watford at home, the other two teams probably had a lot of the player miss their chances. And of course, watching West Ham against Man City, I was commentating on that game for Sky, and West Ham had five good chances in the first half against Man City, and people failed to see that. Although City's finishing was clinical, they still created those chances. So I half fancied us for a result up there, but not at 3-0.
Tony, do you think that we're beginning to see the type of West Ham that we can expect to see under Pellegrini moving forward? I mean, as you mentioned, that the Man City performance wasn't bad, although Man City, you know, the scoreline almost flattered them a little bit. They were far more clinical. But, you know, over the weeks, we seem to be putting in some good performances. Is this what we can expect to see moving forward, and a little bit of positivity, so a nice little run of results?
Well, I hope so. I was encouraged by the City game because, I mean, if we'd have just sat back like most teams do, just let them have the ball, and everybody remembers the Newcastle game last year when they just didn't come out their own third, let alone half, and just tried to keep the score down, then we still could have lost that 4-0. But we had a go. And if you look at the first goal, it was a little bit lucky for City, a deflected cross. And then the other stuff was clinical. No problem about that. But going forward, this is how he wants to play, Pellegrini. He wants to play on the front foot. And he's told them that he wants to dictate games. So they are going to have some games where they come unstuck, maybe playing against the top sides. But against the other sides, I think, it's the way to go. Arguably, you could say, yeah, you've got to be a little bit more defensive against the top sides. But if we turn one of those top sides over, playing like we did against City, and take our chances, then I think everybody's going to go, wow. Because, you know, that's how we want to play at West Ham. We want to play on the front foot.
Mm.
Evening, Tony. Obviously, nice to see Hernandez bang a couple in at the weekend. A lot of talk about him this season. Some good, some bad, obviously. Do you think he's that front foot that you're talking about there? Do you think he's going to be a big part of that going forward to the end of the season?
Well, I mean, I was shocked when I saw he got the goals. I think he's maybe not as fast as he was in the past, and, you know, particularly when you rely on your reflexes like he does. So if we are going forward, I think maybe you may be seeing someone else coming in up front and reverting to that, you know, maybe Arnie going back up there again. But at the weekend, you can't argue with it because he took his chances. But as for a team play, I think I'd prefer to see someone else up front, although he was clinical and took those chances that he took. So there's enough sort of creativity behind him. I think that's the key, with the likes of Arnautovic and Anderson being Garner, who maybe didn't start. So there's another boy who's done really well. So there's enough creativity behind, and you've got Antonio, who didn't do badly against Man City as well. So there's enough there, and we're all forgetting, and we never ever mention Lanzini to come back. And when he comes back, we've got some, I wouldn't say firepower in terms of goals, but we've got a lot of creativity.
Tony, I'm just holding an article at the moment by Will Butcher. He's talked about how Real Sociedad and Valencia are both keen on Javier Hernandez. I'm going to go back and use Harry Redknapp's old phrase. Is he in the shop window?
I think he would be. I think come the new year, if there was a bid on him and maybe you got your money back, you'd be quite happy with that. And then we would look maybe at someone else coming in. But strikers are few and far between, aren't they? You know, you have a look around in European world football. They're very difficult to get a top-class striker in. And when you do, you're going to have to pay a lot of money for them. So maybe you'd have to have a punt at a kind of a kid coming through that you think might go on and do it. But even that's going to cost you a lot of money. But that striking position is a real difficult one, isn't it? That's why West Ham have mixed and matched so much.
You obviously good to see Felipe Anderson hit a bit of form recently as well, with 4-4 now. He seems to be settling into the team and getting used to the pace of the league a bit. Do you think he's going to maintain that form for the rest of the year, or do you think he might be one of those hot and cold sort of players?
A bit of both. He's one of those players that when you win, you think, oh yeah, great, everything's going great. But when you're up against it, maybe there's times where you're going to need a little bit more work rate. But he's kind of a luxury player, but I think the lads playing around him have to understand that. So you have to be solid behind him and alongside him in the middle of the park. So when you do get the ball and you're transferring it, if you win possession and he's got a free run at people, or more importantly, he's the person who's going to find the pass. I don't think he's actually someone who goes past people that well, but he's a very good passer of the ball when he's coming back on that right foot. So what, Lanzini's played out there before. Payet played out there before. And now they've got another right footer on the left playing out there. And he's quite similar, really, in that he's a good passer of the ball.
What do you make of Robert Snodgrass's sort of revival in a West Ham shirt, Tony? Because, you know, everyone thought he was going to be sold in the summer when Pellegrini arrived, but it turns out Pellegrini really likes him. And, you know, he put in that great ball for Hernandez's first, and even before he got suspended by those five yellows, he's been superb for us this season, despite looking like his West Ham career was done and dusted.
Yeah, and you've got to give credit to him. He went away, went on loan. He looked like, as you said, done and dusted, but he's come back. And I think that Pellegrini's been quite taken aback by his attitude. It's been superb. Like, he's come in and gone, right, I'm going to show you what I'm all about. And if you maybe don't think I've got the quality, I'm going to show you that I've got the work rate and I've got the appetite for the game, which maybe rubs off on other players around him, because you can't all be Andersons, can you, really? Or an Anatovicis. You have to have some people who's got to put in a bit of collar. And he's always been a good striker of a ball. So forget that you're thinking, oh, he's going to run at people, go past them or whatever. But when he gets back on to his left side, and when he's on the right side, he curls those crosses in, as he did at the weekend, or if he plays on the left, just whips them in. Good at set pieces as well. You know, you've got a decent player. You wouldn't put him in that category where you think, oh, like, he's going to be one of your top players, he's going to change games. But he's been very important for the side this season. And I think more than anything, the attitude that he showed is superb. Good luck to him.
Yeah,
Tony, it seems like most West Ham fans are quite excited, certainly for this next period of games up until the beginning of January. Quite refreshing that we're all talking in a positive manner about players' forms, be them coming through the youth or new players like Snodgrass who's turning it round. One player we're all talking about a lot is obviously Declan Rice. Some negativity recently around the contract talks. There's the stuff of his international situation, but obviously doing it on the pitch week in, week out. What do you make of him, his performances, and the whole situation in general?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call them problems that he's got. He's got to choose between the Republic of Ireland and England. And he's waiting on a contract that is going to be a big one for me, whether it's at West Ham or it's elsewhere. I don't think that's problems for Dec. And for me, he's just got on with his football. So it's the people that you got around you, i.e. your parents and family, you know, just tell you, get your head down, keep playing, doesn't matter what money you're getting now, because in the future, you're going to be a very wealthy boy, because if he doesn't get it at West Ham, and there'll be fools not to give him the big contract, then he'll get it somewhere else. So for me, West Ham should be sitting him down and saying, right, let's sort this contract out. Let's have a look at relative to the other players in and around the squad and give you what you deserve, because I think he's proved that, and that he's going to be one for the future. And maybe they think he was going to have an attitude whereby it was a young man signing and then not put the performances in. That's not Declan. He'll put the performances in, and he's got the right attitude. Doesn't matter whether he's on shirt buttons or a lot of money. He loves his football.
Is he going to stay at West Ham, Tony? Is he going to sign that contract regardless, you know, whether it's now in January or the end of the season?
Well, if they put a comparable contract in front of him that maybe others would give him anyway, I think he'll sign for West Ham, because he loves West Ham and he likes being there. But that's up to the owners and the powers that be to sort that contract out, you know. And if you're asking me, is Declan Rice, should he be on the same money as Jack Wilshere? I say yes. Should he be on the same money as Mark Noble, Snodgrass? Yes. Felipe Anderson? Yes. Because he's every bit as good. So you have a look around that squad and you've got to be saying, this kid is as important as any one of those players and he should be on a comparable contract.
I don't disagree with that. Let's look ahead to the upcoming fixtures. You've got Cardiff tomorrow night. You've got Palace at home on Saturday as well. Winning at Newcastle was a great start to that really favourable run of fixtures. You know, do you see West Ham pushing on now and really putting together a real positive run of results that can really steer us into the top 10 of the Premier League before or by the turn of the year and then start looking towards maybe pushing for, you know, even potentially a top 8 finish because it's still early in the season?
Don't get ahead of yourselves.
This is too exciting, Tony.
It is the worst thing to get ahead of yourself, isn't it? I mean, the thing's, it's going okay at the moment. It's going all right. You know, even the City game, which we lost, good performance. Newcastle. I mean, Cardiff are a difficult side. They'll come and spoil tomorrow night. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
And to break them down, it's not going to be like playing Newcastle where they thought they're going to beat you. Cardiff are going to come, they're going to spoil, break the game up, make it all about set pieces. When there's a free kick, goalkeeper will be taking it halfway in their half, even on the halfway line, planting long balls into the area. West Ham have got to cope with that, and then when they've got the chance to play, they've got to play. Early goal will be nice, maybe open the game up a bit. And Palace at the weekend, I mean, I was commentating on Palace against Burnley. Palace, it was one of the best performances I've seen this season from the team. You know, Zaha and Townsend up front give you problems that you don't normally get with strikers, like big strikers or whatever. They're a difficult side and well organised, so you can't take these games for granted because we nicked a result, or not nicked a result, got a result at Newcastle. They're all tough games, so it's one at a time. Take them as they're going to come. Palace will have a go at us, there's no doubt about that, but Cardiff will sit back. You know, plan yourself accordingly. Tough games, although looking easier as far as, you know, on paper.
Well, not to get as much as we hanging off every word of yours in here at the moment, Tony, and talking about not getting ahead of ourselves, got the cup draw tonight. You got a bit of a fabled history with the club, obviously, with the cup. Are you, are we going to win it?
You anticipate that the big teams again are going to put maybe lesser teams out in the competition. But for me, even in the Carabao Cup, we missed a trick there, didn't we? God, yeah. Blimey. Why didn't we put a team out for that? I always thought we were going to be safe in the Premier League. We missed an opportunity that you wouldn't believe there by not putting a stronger side out and making the changes when we were losing the game to Spurs instead of kind of getting ahead against them, then making the changes. So I hope we take that FA Cup really seriously and someone gets hold of the management and goes, hold on a minute, this FA Cup means a lot to West Ham. Okay, 75 and 80, long time since we won it. But when I was there after that, 84 and 94, we had some really good cup runs and everybody loved it. And West Ham fans just ingratiate the FA Cup. You know, if we go away from home, you can have, you know, the whole end away from home. It's just a special atmosphere, the FA Cup. Let's go and try and win it. But I hope so. It'd be great, wouldn't it? FA Cup,
yeah,
and top half of the Premier League. That's our dream, isn't
it? It'd be nice,
West Ham fans. That's good, isn't it?
It'd be nice. I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you'd hope a couple of big teams would, you know, field some weaker sides. What do you make of that in the FA Cup? Because in years gone by, the FA Cup's been, you know, a competition that a lot of, you know, all the big teams try and win, but it seems to have lost its importance to some of the top six over the years. What do you make of that, Tony? Because, you know, as I said, particularly in the 70s and 80s, it was the competition that everyone wanted to win.
Yeah, I don't like it. Obviously, I understand it because of Champions League fixtures and Premier League fixtures and, you know, trying to get in the top four to re-qualify again for the Champions League. They see that as more important. But you have although they put lesser teams out, they seem to still get to the finals, don't they, and still win the competition. Mm. And when they get to that stage of quarter, semi-final, then all of a sudden they start putting their better teams out. And it's saved many a manager in that top four to six teams by winning that FA Cup or Carabao Cup, and they'd go, look, yeah, I've got a trophy in the cabinet. I know we haven't done this, but I've put a trophy in the cabinet. But I wish they, you know, early on, particularly when they play the lower teams, there'll be some great draws coming out later on. You know, it's great to see first teams come into your ground, isn't it, if you're one of them lower teams, rather than, oh, they're going to put the players who need fitness or players who've got to prove themselves in the team. Although they'll win the game as well, you still want to see the top players at the lesser grounds, yeah, because they've all got that thing. They go, oh, do you remember when Harry Kane came down here? Oh, do you remember when he came down here? Mm. Remember when he came down there? It's still that thing about the FA Cup, isn't it? Mm.
So for you, Tony, would it be, well, would you rather have, you know, a low league club, maybe a League One league club away for West Ham United, or a Millwall Spurs at the London Stadium?
Oh, done about Millwall Spurs. Oh dear, oh dear. That'd take some policing, wouldn't it? I'd like a nice easy run for West Ham all the way through, I've got to be honest. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and I've got my other team, Fulham. I hope for exactly the same. And I just, although Fulham will maybe look at it totally different, I think, because they've got to try and survive. But for me, West Ham have got a decent team. They're going to be okay in the Premier League. Go for this competition. He'll be a hero for life, Pellegrini, won't he?
He will indeed. Thank you so much for joining us, Tony. You're a hero right here on the West Ham United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Up next, we talk all things FA Cup. It's about to kick off the FA Cup draw with us next on Love Sport.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
Yeah, if you're paying way too much for your energy bills and insurance, you could be saving hundreds of pounds by shopping around. Find out just how much you could save by going to aspokesmansaid.com. Search for the cheapest deals on your energy bills and the best value for your home, car and travel insurance. Don't take our word for it. There's hundreds of Spokesman Said customers who have saved big. Brian from Derbyshire saved £400 on his energy bills. Jim in Glasgow, whopping £600. Kurt from Surrey saved over £300 on his home insurance. And Tony from Northampton saved a massive £2,800 on his energy bills. Don't pay the price for not shopping around. Visit aspokesmansaid.com and you could be saving money on your bills in time for Christmas. Good evening. This is Love Sport Radio with your FA Cup third round draw. We have our pictures in place from Stamford Bridge, the home of the current FA Cup holders. Of course, by the way, joining me, James Jones and Will Pierre are still here. How many teams started in the FA Cup this season? Anyone?
It's in the hundreds, isn't it?
Mm, yeah.
In the hundreds.
200s.
You mean like qualifiers and everything?
Everything.
Cool.
Oh, I wouldn't even know. Oh, like 250 maybe.
No, 384.
736.
Well,
736 teams started in the FA Cup. 666 clubs have been eliminated already and just 70 remain.
You ever played in the FA Cup? There's always that one mate of that everyone's got, isn't it?
Mine played in the first round of the FA Cup this season.
Yeah?
Mark Kirby played for Haringey against Wimbledon, and he was on the TV on the Friday night, and he had the Chelsea boys in there going, which one's your mate? I see that one when there was a corner, and he was being told by the manager to go up for it, and he's just shaking his head going, no, he's completely out of puff. It was brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
I'm not one of those mates that have played in the FA Cup.
No? You got any of them?
No, I've won it on Football Manager a few times.
That's the same, isn't it?
But, haven't we all?
Yeah, but I've never played in it.
Clubs trying to get into the FA Cup third round draw tonight. Well, clubs to try and get a QPR. They've won the FA Cup four times in 21 years. Norwich City have had five consecutive third round exits. And Ipswich have had eight consecutive third round exits. Ipswich aren't even the worst FA Cup team in the country at the third round level. They're not even the worst one in East Anglia. All right, Ipswich, it's absolutely horrendous. Very quickly, you know, we'll run through the teams that are left in the draw. Who do you guys want? Put simply, we spoke to Tony Gale there. He turned around and said that, you know, an easier progression is an easier tie to get is better for progression. But, you know, is it all about the passion? For me, whenever I see my club's name, it's always about give us Liverpool. I'm desperate to play them and desperate to beat them in the FA Cup because I love the competition. Who do you guys want?
Well, for West Ham in the Cup, it's just a matter of who we play before we inevitably get City, isn't it?
Particularly in the last few years, isn't it? Yeah.
So I'm with Tony, to be honest. I'd much rather. I know they don't make for great spectacles, but a nice like away leg at a lower level team where you'd hope to get the victory, and you know it's a new ground to go to, you get a bit of atmosphere, a few tickets, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
that's always a nice.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'd prefer us to avoid Tottenham and Millwall. Millwall especially because of the hassle that it causes off the pitch, and I think you know there's just always you know people that turn up just to cause problems. I'd rather just avoid that because you've had enough bad press as it is off the pitch. Tottenham, they will beat us in the cup. Doesn't matter whether it's home or away. So yeah, I mean, I'd like it to be a lower league team, and we can go from there. I'd personally quite like Barnet because my wife's from Barnet. And it's not far to go to if it's on away, fixture. Yeah. So if it's Barnet, then fantastic. You know, but as long as, you know, it's a lower league team, and as Tony said, we can get a nice, easy run, happy days.
So yeah, the draw is fast approaching here on Love Sport Radio. 44 clubs from the Premier League and Championship enter the fray at this stage, meaning clubs like Woking or Barnet could potentially face top clubs such as Manchester United, Liverpool or Arsenal. Conducting the draw this evening, former Chelsea player-manager Ruud Gullit. Paul Ince is also there, of course, former Manchester United, Liverpool and West Ham United midfielder. Elsewhere, non-league representation, Woking and Barnet are guaranteed, they're guaranteed their place in the draw. Four other non-league sides are in there. Woking beat Swindon Town by a 1-0 as Jake Hyde proved the match winner in that tie. His header early in the second half against the club who released him as a trainee in 2009 booked Woking a third round tie for the first time in 22 years. Martin Tyler up there proud in his Woking jacket there. Barnet beat fellow non-league club Stockport County 1-0 as Dan Sparks' early goal proved the difference. Southport, Wrexham and Solihull Moors also forced replay, against league opposition over the weekend. And National League North club Guiseley will take on League One Fleetwood tonight following the draw. Anyone know who the Solihull Moors manager is?
No.
Tim Flowers.
Is he still about?
Yeah, he is indeed.
Good luck
he
to
is
him.
Indeed. Tim Flowers has taken on the job at Solihull Moors. Winning clubs of the FA Cup third round will receive £135,000, £135,500, in fact, to be precise, after the FA doubled the prize fund at the beginning of the season, meaning non-league clubs could benefit hugely from a victory at this side. Should a lower league side draw one of the big clubs, they could generate huge sums of money, which can massively help the development of the club. So that's what we're all hoping to see. Let's be fair, one of my best memories is Exeter City being saved from bankruptcy and ruin by getting themselves a tie at Old Trafford and making the money to completely bring their club out of receivership. Absolutely brilliant. Elsewhere, yeah, Woking are currently second in the Vanarama National League South. They made it through to the third round through Josh Casey's goal. That's the first time in 22 years. Yeah, for you, who are you looking at? Will win that draw? Anyone you're interested in?
Yeah, I think at this stage you just want to avoid other Premier League teams, don't you, really? I think you just if you get through the first few kind of those sort of games where you just want to, once you get to the latter stages, when you're in the quarterfinals, that's when people really start thinking about it and looking forward to who you get. It's just nice to have a few extra games thrown into the calendar.
Yeah.
Just give some of the younger players a chance, especially as we've got a few young promising ones coming through at the moment, I think.
Yeah, I saw a lot of teams flash out. I'll take Newcastle away at this stage.
Very quickly, a few ball numbers worth keeping an eye out for. Arsenal, record 13-time winners, are ball number 2. Chelsea, current FA Cup holders, are ball number 12. Liverpool, 7-time winners, ball number 22. Manchester City, currently Premier League champions, are ball number 23. Manchester United are 24. Norwich City, top of the Championship, are 28. Guiseley or Fleetwood are number 45. Wrexham or Newport are number 47. Tranmere Rovers or Southport are number 48. Solihull Moors or Blackpool are number 51. Woking are number 54. Lincoln City are 56. They became the first non-league side in 103 years to reach the quarterfinals of the FA Cup in 2017. And Barnet are number 59. Plenty on the way. We're going to have your FA Cup draw. We'll first take a short pause.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Love Sport Radio's. The FA Cup draw has commenced. And Gillingham initially will take on Cardiff City, one of the first ties out the hat. The next ball called number seven, that is Brentford. They're, of course, playing tonight away at West Bromwich Albion. And they will play number 58, Oxford United, at home. Brentford to take on Oxford United. The next ball out of the hat, number 35, Sheffield Wednesday. And just waiting to see who Paul Ince draws. And they draw number 46. Number 46 is Luton Town. Sheffield Wednesday to take on Luton Town. Elsewhere, number 24, Manchester United.
We'll
play at Old Trafford.
It's going to be us, isn't it? It's going to be us.
And they will take on number 32.
We're 42.
Reading. Manchester United will take on Reading. One draw that was made. One of the first balls out, in fact, was Millwall. They will take on Hull City at the Den. Everton are out next.
No.
And Everton will take on number 56, Lincoln City.
I love this part of the FA Cup.
It's brilliant, isn't it? The draw is the best bit. Number 48, Tranmere Rovers or Southport. Wouldn't be a bad draw. Tranmere, I love a bit. Prenton Park is a great ground. And they will play number 39, Tottenham Hotspur. Tranmere or Southport versus Tottenham.
Yeah, Tottenham always get an easy draw.
Makes a change for them to get an easy draw.
always.
Number 30, Preston North End. Who's heading up to Deepdale in early January? And it is number 63. That's Doncaster Rovers. The first draw out, by the way, was Bolton versus Walsall or Sunderland. That was the first number. Well, the first set of numbers out the draw. Number 27 is Newcastle United.
Yep. This is us, Newcastle away. It's going to happen again.
Number 3-0.
And they have drawn number 5, Blackburn Rovers. Still Tony Mowbray's Blackburn Rovers on somewhat of a resurgence.
Shearer derby.
That is the Alan Shearer derby. Chelsea. Number 12, Chelsea.
Get him out of the way.
Who will they play? Paul Ince just drawing the ball at the moment, and they will take on number 29, Nottingham Forest.
Still
two former European Cup winners. Chelsea taking on Nottingham Forest at Stamford Bridge. Next ball out is number 13. That's Crystal Palace.
No, definitely not.
Made even better with your commentary.
I don't fancy
Crystal
it.
Palace. To take on number 52. We're 42, aren't we? Yeah, Grimsby 42. Town.
So you had 32 and 52, but we're still waiting. Barnet.
Some big names still left in there.
Massive names left in that. Number 14, Derby County, or Frank Lampard's Derby County, as they're more commonly known as these days.
He'd knock us out, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Playing number 36, Southampton. Derby County versus Southampton, of course, who parted company with Mark Hughes just this morning. Number 62, Accrington Stanley.
I'll take that. Yeah. We played them a couple of years ago. Was it the FA Cup or the League Cup?
Accrington Stanley will take on number 19. Number 19, Ipswich Town. And you've got to fancy an Accrington win off of that. Number 9, Bristol City.
They'll be
playing at Ashton Gate.
That'd be all right.
They'll take on number 17, Huddersfield Town. Bristol City versus Huddersfield Town.
We're going to be
the
last
next
out.
Draw Absolutely. Out. Number 47 is the next ball. Wrexham or Newport County. Don't forget, Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal still in the draw, as are West Ham. They play number 21, Leicester City. Wrexham or Newport will take on Leicester City. Number 16, Fulham. They will be playing at Craven Cottage in their third round fixture, and they take on ball number 55, Oldham Athletic, at Craven Cottage. Fulham versus Oldham Athletic. Ball number 50, Shrewsbury Town.
I'm getting really nervous now.
And they will take on number 37, Stoke City. Shrewsbury versus Stoke. Some massive names still in that draw. Number 51, Solihull Moors or Blackpool. Of course, Solihull Moors under the tutelage of Mr. Tim Flowers. And they will take on number 2, Arsenal. Solihull Moors or Blackpool versus Arsenal. What a brilliant draw that is. And we're still waiting for Ruud Gullit. Number 23,
Here we go.
Manchester City.
Here we go.
And they have number 33. Rotherham United. What a draw that is to Paul Warne. I actually spoke to Paul Warne on Saturday. What a man and what a guy and what a draw. He was hoping for a big tie. Number one, AFC Bournemouth.
No.
Would you want them?
No.
No. They'll take on number eight, Brighton and Hove Albion, a seaside derby. It's like football bingo.
There we go.
Number 42, West Ham United will play at home.
Barnet.
And they will play number four.
Birmingham.
Birmingham
right. City.
I'll take that.
That's all right.
They're in form now, aren't they?
Under Gary Monk, of course. West Ham United to take on Birmingham. Number 54, Woking. God, wouldn't they love Liverpool or someone like that? And they will take on number 40. Number 40 is Watford. Woking versus Watford. Next ball to come out by Rude Hullett is number 10.
Burnley.
That is Burnley. And they take on number 49. They take on Barnsley. Entertain Barnsley at Turf Moor. Number 31 is Queen's Park Rangers. Be interesting to see who they get. And they have ball number 20, which is Leeds United. QPR versus Leeds.
Liverpool's still in there, aren't they?
Liverpool's still in there. Wimbledon's still in there as well. Number 34 is Sheffield United. Who will Chris Wilder's team face? And they will take on... Come on, Paul.
What's the answer?
Number 59. They will welcome Barnet to Bramall Lane. Sheffield United versus Barnet.
You're
going to be going to that one on the sun?
Yeah, I might do.
On the TV. Number 28... is Norwich City, top of the championship under Daniel Farke, and they will entertain Portsmouth in the third round of the FA Cup.
Liverpool got an easy draw already, guaranteed, isn't it?
Looks like it.
Number 45, Guiseley or Fleetwood Town? And they will take on number 57, Wimbledon. Guiseley or Fleetwood versus AFC Wimbledon. Number 41, West Bromwich Albion. And they will take on number 43, Wigan Athletic. West Brom versus Wigan. Probably one of the most unfancied Premier League ties from a few years ago.
Mm.
Number 25, here we go, Middlesbrough. With only five teams left in the draw, will take on number 53, and they take on Peterborough United or Bradford City. Liverpool, Aston Villa, Swansea and Wolves,
Liverpool
all
Villa.
Left.
Liverpool Villa would be a good tie.
Here come number 44, Wolves. And out for Wolves. Ooh, number 22, Liverpool. Liverpool will go to Wolverhampton Wanderers in the third round of the FA Cup. That leaves... just one more tie. Let's see who's playing at home. It is Aston Villa, and they will entertain Swansea. So that is the draw for the third round of the FA Cup. Ties to be played on the first weekend of January. We'll run through every single one of those ties now, because there are some big ones for our London sides. First and foremost, let's get your reaction, you know, to the West Ham draw against Birmingham City. Gary Monk, who's really worked hard, worked wonders with this Birmingham City after taking over after let's be fair, the debacle that was Harry Redknapp. They weren't very good under Steve Cotchell. Harry Redknapp, they've had some really tough times. Birmingham City, you guys happy with that draw?
I'm happy with it. I mean, they look pretty good, don't they, Birmingham at the moment, particularly that transfer embargo as well, but they seem to have really picked up under Gary Monk. But you got to be happy with a home draw against a championship team. You know, we do look good at the moment, and you'd like to think, as we said earlier, we'd like to think that Pellegrini would take this one seriously.
Although we say that, we were hoping before for a lower league team. As all the teams were coming out, I was just rattling off all the teams we'd gone out of the cup.
True. Like Wrexham,
Sheffield Wednesday, Wigan last year, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I was there. So no, I think that's a good draw. Really, could have been 10 times worse, couldn't it? So
it could have been a lot worse.
Nice to be at home.
Avoiding a Premier League team is good. Being at home is good. So yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah. Right, very quickly, let's round through all these ties. The first draw coming out towards Bolton versus Walsall Sunderland. Then came Millwall versus Hull City. Gillingham versus Cardiff. Brentford will entertain Oxford United at Griffin Park. Sheffield Wednesday versus Luton. Manchester United versus Reading. Everton versus Lincoln City. What a brilliant tie that's going to be. Tranmere or Southport versus Tottenham Hotspur. Preston North End versus Doncaster Rovers. Newcastle versus Blackburn. Chelsea versus Nottingham Forest. Crystal Palace versus Grimsby Town. Derby versus Southampton. Accrington Stanley versus Ipswich. Bristol City versus Huddersfield. Non-league Wrexham versus former Premier League champions Leicester. Fulham versus Oldham. Shrewsbury versus Stoke. Solihull Moors or Blackpool versus Arsenal. Manchester City versus Rotherham. Bournemouth versus Brighton. West Ham United versus Birmingham. Woking, of course, non-league Woking versus Watford. Burnley versus Barnsley. QPR versus Leeds. Sheffield United versus Barnet. Norwich versus Portsmouth. Championship leaders versus League One leaders. In that one, Guiseley or Fleetwood versus Wimbledon. West Brom versus Wigan. Middlesbrough will take on Peterborough or Bradford. Wolves versus Liverpool, the Paulins derby, that is. And Aston Villa versus Swansea. Some nice ties in there. No big derbies. Let's have a look at some of the pick of the ties. Of course, Spurs playing away at Southport or Tranmere is going to be brilliant. I mean, I've been to Prenton Park. I've never actually been to Southport, but Prenton Park's a nice ground to go to. A very, very strange one for that level of football. But yeah, an interesting one for Spurs, as you guys weren't too pleased with it.
Yeah, they just always get an easy draw. And I get, if they win that, which they probably will, then they'll get an easy draw then. And then they'll end up drawing Arsenal or something in the quarters and lose or something like that. They always get easy draws early doors.
Mm. Yeah, just walk their way through the first few rounds of the tournament, don't they? Yeah. They won't win it, though, will they? That's Pochettino's thing, isn't it?
Yeah, they won't win it. They're going to go up the top four again, aren't they? And just forget all the cups. Particularly if they have to fall out of the Champions League to go into Europa League. The last thing they're going to do is a cup run in the FA Cup as well, isn't it? It's just going to be...
Who needs silverware these
days? Yeah, you don't need it.
Solihull Moors to take on Blackpool. Well, to take on Blackpool first in a replay, but potentially take on Arsenal.
What a tie that would be.
That's huge, isn't it? I mean, you'd hope Solihull win that just so they can get their big game against Arsenal. You know, they're down in the National League.
Mm.
You know, you'd like to think Solihull can overcome. Is Solihull at home in the replay?
Yeah, they are.
You know, you'd like to think they get a big crowd and get behind their team against Blackpool. You know, I fancy Solihull to beat Arsenal as well. Why not?
Blackpool are going to be going for that even more so than perhaps they would have been before now, because it's now a big tie for them, isn't it?
Yep, it certainly is. There you go. Your FA Cup draw has happened. We'll be back after your news.
This is Love Sport.
Good evening, this is Love Sport Radio with your West Ham United fan show. My name's Aaron Paul. Him over there, he's James Jones, and Will Pugh is in the building with us as well. Chaps, we're just reacting to the news that West Ham United will take on Birmingham City in the third round of the FA Cup. I thought I'd do a bit of homework, and I've done a bit of research in the break, and West Ham United have won 32 of their games against Birmingham City. Birmingham City have won 40. Of the games head-to-head. There's been 22 draws overall. When was the last time West Ham beat Birmingham?
Oh, I have no idea.
League Cup 2011. West Ham have only won one in their last six.
That would have been the first leg. They beat us that on their way to winning the League Cup.
Yep. So the last time you guys actually beat them in the league was February 2010. It was a 2-0 win at Upton Park. So, yeah, I wouldn't be, you know, 100% sure going into this one. The form guide and the history suggests that that Birmingham City have an option and an opportunity here.
That League Cup semi-final was a heartbreaker, wasn't it? The away leg.
Well, you win the first leg and you think it's done. And yeah. Carlton Castle was a screamer at St Andrews. And you think, right, life. Here we go. And they won it in extra time, didn't they?
Yeah, right at the death, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm glad they went on and won it because then you could go, at least we lost to the champions.
Yeah,
but
yeah. We basically run us up, weren't we?
Basically run us up, yeah, basically.
Yeah, so let's carry on. We're going to continue talking about West Ham United. And I want to just quickly touch on Felipe Anderson, a man who's had critics, he's had doubters, he's had people who have had different opinions, but he's had those people that have just stuck behind him, who have, you know, constantly praised his performances. I've heard many things, many podcasts where people are talking about Felipe Anderson, and that he's the first name they mention when you talk about West Ham's transfer business, and they all go, what a player West Ham have managed to pick up. Are we talking about a guy here who needs to be in the right frame of mind to get going, who needs to maybe... I don't know, he needs to just be in the right place to do what he does. A lot of people have talked about the price tag, a lot of people have talked about his attitude, a lot have talked about how bigger clubs and bigger names haven't gone for him because of his attitude, maybe he drifts in and out, maybe he lets games pass him by. What do you think?
I think Tony Gale touched on it, didn't he, earlier on, saying that there's a potential for him to be one of those hot and cold players, and when we're winning, it's fantastic and everyone loves him. But then perhaps when we need the team to dig in a bit, he might be one of those luxury players that you can't necessarily afford to carry. But the only thing is, I mean, he's got 4 in 4 now. Obviously, the City game is a bit of an anomaly in all of that. But 4 goals in 3, basically. And then with the next run of games we've got, which we've touched on, that's when he should really be able to show his class, shouldn't he? And really put his stamp on the team and you know, on the league this year, because he's got a run now of teams where he's going to be coming up against players he should be backing himself to beat. The whole team should be playing well, and you'd hope that he's going to be the one to lead us into those fixtures, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think we were warned about this a little bit when we were linked with him, because it was a long old saga that in the summer, wasn't it? You know, were we going to sign him, weren't we going to sign him? And a lot of Lazio fans were warning West Ham fans, saying, you know, he's really inconsistent. So we were kind of warned about it before we'd even sign him, that we weren't expecting a player to come in and just be fantastic every week. But what's good about the last few games, 4 in 4, as you said, he seems to have picked up a little bit of consistency. I don't know whether that's because he's been given, you know, some different instructions on the pitch, where Pellegrini's noticed that, okay, he doesn't like tracking back. We all know he's a little bit lazy when it comes to defending. Okay, so you go forward, you stay forward, but when you're on the ball, I want you to do this, this and this. And we've seen him when he gets on the ball, particularly against Newcastle at the weekend, when he gets on the ball, you know, he'll run at defenders. We saw the last time we really saw him do that was Arsenal away, where he was fantastic. Okay, we lost the game. We're a little bit unlucky to lose that. But he was brilliant. He was one of the best players on the pitch. So if perhaps Pellegrini's given him some different instructions on the pitch to go, when you get the ball, I want you to do this, this and this. And it's working, because it's been superb the last few games.
I think Pellegrini was always, with big marquee signings like that, A, there's going to be pressure to get him in the squad as much as possible. But there'll also be that inclination from Pellegrini to shape things to perhaps suit him a bit more. And when you're paying that sort of money for a player anyway, their positive attributes are things that you should exploit, really, aren't they? So if you have to make a few tinkers or changes in the rest of the team to adapt to him, then it's a sensible thing to do, and it seems to be paying dividends recently, doesn't it?
Yeah, what's even more encouraging is that in the last four games, he scored, you know, 4 in 4, he's played in two different systems and he's still been effective. You know, he's played in a 4-4-2 at the weekend, but he's played in you know, one or two other different systems previously, and he's still made a difference, had an impact, positive impact, scored goals. So that shows that, you know, he's beginning to, perhaps it took him a little bit longer than expected to get used to the English game, and that, you know, it was a little bit more physical. But the way he brushed off, who was it that he brushed off? Was it Yedlin he brushed off for the third goal? His goal against Newcastle, just brushed him off. A lot of players would have gone down. But he just went, nah, he just shoved him off and went and finished.
for a player to do that, you know, after he's not been in the Premier League for long, perhaps he's just getting used to it. He needs a little bit of time just to adapt, get used to living in London, living in England, and getting used to the, you know, the physicality but and the speed of the Premier League.
And you say that as well, and we've seen it happen plenty of times in the past, not just at West Ham, but there's far more expensive players, far better, far worse players than him, that not only have taken a bit of time to settle in the first place, but some who just, it never happens for them at all, does it?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's good to see him sort of, he's finding his feet really, isn't he? He seems to have taken a bit of time to do that. Pellegrini's obviously been patient with him, working with him, because when you make an investment like that, there's obviously long, you're thinking long term, really. It's easy. There's fans, you sort of, we're all guilty, aren't we, of sometimes getting that game-to-game mentality and not finding it so easy to stand back and look at the bigger picture. But it's certainly promising times at the moment. And same as we were saying with Hernandez and Snodgrass, if he's doing the business and putting the ball in the back of the net and creating opportunities for others, what more can he do?
I think the proof will be tomorrow night against Cardiff at home, where, you know, he'll have a lot of the ball because they'll be giving it to him. And Cardiff will be sitting back. They'll be happy to soak the pressure up, you know, as we discussed earlier. And if he can produce against Cardiff at home tomorrow night, where, you know, it'll be on him. You know, the expectation will be in the producer as well. It won't just be, you know, just turn up and play his game. The fans will be expecting to see something from him. If he can do that then tomorrow, then I'll think, you know, do you know what? We're beginning to get our money's worth here, because I was before the last few games, I was thinking, what have we done? We spent a lot of money on someone here that's not worth it.
On a dud.
On a bit of a dud, you know, on a bit of hype. But the last few games beginning to suggest otherwise. He's just got to do it against the Cardiffs at home. You know, he's got to do it against those games where you expected to win.
Let's take a pause. On the back of this, I want to talk about another West Ham United player who's I'm not going to say pulling up trees, but he's been doing a bit of gardening out there. His name's Robert Snodgrass. Yeah, plenty to talk about. Do join us. Do stick with us. It is West Brom and Derby 0, Brentford 0 in the Championship. 10 minutes gone there at the Hawthorns. We'd love to hear from you tonight at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is Love Sport talking West Ham until 9 p.m. tonight. Let's talk Robert Snodgrass. There was a mini debate going on during the break between Will and James. But chaps, this is a man who I said about 4 or 5 weeks ago could become a real general in Pellegrini's side. Similar to Zabaleta, but maybe just adding experience, adding a bit of nous, adding a bit of... there's no actual word for this. There's no word for streetwiseness. But just a bit streetwise in the league, knows what he's looking for, knows what he's doing, and one of those old school generals. James, you're a big fan of his. Will, not so much. Chaps, go for it.
When we signed him, I was really positive. I thought it was a good sign. I thought we probably paid a little bit too much for him at the time. But we just sold Payet, and we needed someone to come in with, you know, with the delivery that Payet had. And there's, no, Snodgrass has got a good delivery on him. I'm not saying he's as good as Payet, definitely isn't. But I thought we needed a player like him on the back of losing someone as creative as that. And okay, it didn't work out for him. He's gone away to Aston Villa, as Tony Gale said earlier. But he's come back, and Pellegrini absolutely loves him. It might just be the fact that he loves his attitude rather than his overall ability. But you can't really question his performances this season. Even coming off the bench, he's changed games coming off the bench. He's chased balls down. He's run about. You know, he's set goals up, and you know, I think a lot of credit needs to go to him for, because everyone expected him to be sold. Pellegrini comes in, doesn't fit. You know, he's not the big name. But now I think even before he got suspended, he'd played more times than anyone else under Pellegrini. So good credit to him. And if he can stay in the team, then I'm all for it, because I think he's been a positive impact.
Yeah, I mean, we've touched on it again tonight already with how quick we can be sometimes at West Ham to jump on players if they don't do well. And that same thing happened with Snodgrass, didn't it? At first, jumped on his back straight away. Everyone was hoping for big things from him. And I was guilty of that at the time. But again, now, you can't not say the positives that he does deserve, really. It's wrong to say the good things about him now. Everyone, when he went off to Villa, no one was really heartbroken, were they? No one was sorry to see the back of him. And he had that aura of one of those players who is that top of the championship level sort of player. That's sort of how I saw it at the time. You know, those players who are just not quite good enough for the Prem, and they end up making a really decent career just going around teams that are in and around the playoffs in the championship year in, year out. And it seemed like that was kind of going to be his level. But he's slotted in really well recently. And he's, like you say, he's making a difference to games.
Yeah.
Which is, you can't ask more of him, really.
No, exactly. And I think a lot of his early stages at West Ham, when we first brought him in and in that January, I think a lot of it, there must have been a lot of weight on his shoulders.
And his shoulders.
And his soldiers.
And his soldiers. You know, he'd just come in, we'd just sold Payet, who the fans absolutely adored. He was brilliant for us for 18 months. And he's just come in as he was a replacement. And, you know, think of the amount of pressure on his shoulders to have to come into a football club that is underachieving, has just sold its best player, and you've just been brought in to replace him. Full well knowing that you're nowhere near his level in terms of ability. It must have been quite difficult to come in and you know, think, okay, you know, I'm good enough to do this.
No.
So that's why I think he might have struggled in those first 6 months. Probably, you know, he needed to get away a little bit and regroup, but he's come back and he hasn't got that pressure anymore and he's just come in and played.
Yeah, I mean, he had the stats at Hull, didn't he? He was outstanding for them in a time where they weren't doing anything at all. And obviously, got Cardiff tomorrow, and Neil Warnock said, didn't he, at his time when he was at Leeds and he had Snodgrass with him there, he said he was devastated. He's one of one of those players that he wishes he'd never lost in his career. He thought really, really highly of him, a lot of his ability. But again, that was Leeds in the Championship. But it's good for him to be stepping up now. I often find it difficult when you're talking about the squad we're going to be putting out most weeks, to sort of think whereabouts he's gonna slot into the system, and whether Pellegrini, I wonder if Pellegrini's looking at it at the moment and he's almost got no choice, is he? Because he's playing really well, like you say, the fans are really starting to take to him, and I'm still not sure whether Pellegrini sees him as like a long term part of his plan still, or whether he's that Pellegrini style of player, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he might be benefiting a little bit now, given the injuries that we've had, particularly with Yarmolenko. And then if you look in the middle, because he has played a few games in the middle, in that midfield three, really well, you know, with Lanzini out, with Wilshere's struggles, with Sanchez out for the rest of the season. So he has benefited, I think, from the injuries. But at the same time, he's come in and he's slotted in and he's done a brilliant job and he's deserved his place in the team. And I think when, you know, maybe next season, once you've got Yarmolenko back, once we got fully fit midfield with Lanzini there, you know, you do wonder where he'd fit in, because as much as we keep raving about him, he's not as good as those players that are out injured.
You know what? I always say you always need a blend of not half decent players, but you know that one player that's maybe not as good but will put in the graph for you. You know, there's always teams who have had them over the years, successful teams as well, who have had, you know, the superstars and the quality players like your Lanzinis, who undoubtedly is a quality player. Lanzinis, Yarmolenko, Anderson. But you've always got to have someone who's there to do the dirty work. And I reckon Snodgrass could turn into that kind of player. I did say before, he could turn out to be such a key cog. And I'm going to look at the same role that James Milner plays maybe for Man City. Someone like that, who, let's be fair, got released by City. They cast him aside. He went to Liverpool. Everyone's like, well, what's going on over here? But he's turned into such an influential player. And I think it's because he does he does the difficult things easily, and he does the easy things without anyone actually noticing, and he just he seems to just keep the game moving, if you like, and he's become such an influential cog in that Liverpool team at 32, 33, 34 years of age, whatever it is. I always say, I reckon Man City regret letting him go, and I think Snodgrass is going to be that kind of player as well, where he'd be able to be a bit more of a, not a utility man as such, but someone who has the ability to help out there, cover somewhere else, do this, do that, and could be, you know, someone that Pellegrini can trust.
I think that's the only place I could really, or the only role I could really see him having in the team a bit longer term, is perhaps that noble kind of role, if you like, where exactly what you said, he does come in and do a bit more of the ugly stuff. But as you're rattling them names off there, you've got Yarmolenko, Lanzini, Anderson, Arnie, you wonder where he's going to fit into the team, don't you? Wilshere as well, we're obviously talking about. You wonder how the whole team, not just as far as Snoddy goes, but how that whole midfield, and how we're gonna set up, and what the shape will look like generally if we've got all those players available.
Yeah, that's right. And Pellegrini's obviously got a system in mind. We've got a story in front of us here that he's hinted that he's going to go with two up top permanently, which suggests that that's one less position for Snodgrass to fit into moving forward. So it's going to be interesting to see where he fits in, but if he can continue, making a difference now, then you don't know what's going to happen. Yarmolenko might be out of favour when he comes back.
He's making himself impossible to drop at the moment.
Oh, absolutely,
grassy,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And good luck, as we said before, good luck to him, because everyone expects him to be sold. Yeah. I expect him to be sold, and here he is now, first team player. Want to see him in the first team.
There you go. It's always easy to write someone off. You just never know. You put a challenge in front of them, what they can achieve. Thomas Frank needs to achieve a win this evening as Brentford manager. They're away to West Bromwich Albion at the Hawthorns. It's currently 0-0, 20 and a half minutes played there in the Black Country this evening. Yeah, we'll keep you up to date with what goes on in the Championship as West Brom just ping across into the box, just keeping an eye on the game this evening for you. We are here on Love Sport Radio. Yeah, plenty more on the way. Going to have the opposition view on for you a little bit later on as well.
Love Sport, 558 AM.
Yeah, good evening. This is Love Sport Radio, talking all things West Ham United until 9 p.m. tonight. Let's talk about Cardiff, though. First and foremost, chaps, who saw their game on Friday night? I mean, you know, a fabulous performance to push Wolves out and move up the table. I mean, absolutely unreal, Cardiff City, how they managed that performance. A club that had been written off completely by pundits, by journalists, by everyone alike, as they headed into the new season, spending pretty much nothing in comparison to other Premier League clubs. But Neil Warnock, he seems to have found a way to get that club winning, and you know, they're out of the relegation zone.
And similar to us, to be fair, they've got some winnable fixtures coming up as well. Obviously, a great win against Wolves on Friday, a team who started the season really well. Pushing up the table now, Cardiff, I think, 16th. But they've got their next fixtures after us, of course. They've got home to Southampton, away to Watford, and got United at home, which is winnable, isn't it?
Mm.
And then, Palace away and Leicester away. So they could be a lot worse for them, couldn't they?
I think they'll fancy themselves at home more than away. I think, you know, they showed against Wolves that was at home on Friday, wasn't it? Cardiff were at home.
Yeah,
it was.
They'll fancy themselves at home. That's where they'll get the majority of their points this season. Whether it's going to be enough for them to stay up, I'm not 100% sure that they're good enough to really last the distance. But he's got them. I mean, to win away, particularly coming from behind against a team like Wolves as well, you've got to roll your hands up and go fair play to you. I mean, particularly early on in the season, we were losing games, and you know, Warnock was coming out with things like, you know, we're just happy to be here. We're just gonna enjoy the moment. And it was like, you've got no chance here. You can't come with that attitude.
Do you think he's playing mind games?
100%. 100%. I think he's... It sounds like his comments he made before the... similar, before the Liverpool game, when they had Liverpool, didn't they? He was talking about it's impossible to come and win at Anfield, and, you know, almost as if he'd written the game off already. And those comments, I just think it's setting up for Cardiff to come and a backs against the wall performance, basically saying to the fans, we're going for a draw. They've got far better players than we have. Just lowering expectations. And we don't always do too well in against teams like that, do we, who the backs against the wall teams?
That's just why I'm really interested to see how we get on tomorrow, because over the years, it's been these games where we've come unstuck a little bit. Ticket at home where you turn up and you expect to win, and then, you know, you either grind out a 1-0 win like we've done, you know, against Sunderland and Burnley and, you know, and teams like that, or you get beat. And that's just what West Ham tend to do, you know, and it would just be typical of us to go and win away at Newcastle 3-0 and then lose at home to Cardiff. So it'd be interesting to see how we get on with that. But he is definitely playing mind games. He's come out and raving about our front four, raving about Arnie, Anderson, Snodgrass. And that's mind games, and he's trying to get into their heads to make him a little bit complacent.
You think it's going for the players as well as...
He's going for the players, because the players read the headlines. They do. They definitely do.
Yeah.
And they'll be reading that from him and going, oh, he thinks we're brilliant. He thinks, look how good he thinks we are. And they're going to turn up. You know, his hope is that they're going to turn up tomorrow and think, right, little old Carver come to town. Their manager absolutely loves us, thinks we're brilliant. Let's put on a show, get a little bit complacent.
Mm.
And, you know, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
It works in Warnock's favour, doesn't it, really? Because I think that's what he tries to breed against most teams that they go in to play against, isn't he? He's got if he can breed a bit, any sort of complacency in any opposition that he comes up against, it's only going to play in his favour. But I just think he's building it up for the sort of game it's going to be, which is...
Look, eight promotions with 17 clubs. The guy knows what he's doing.
Never stayed up, though, has he, in the Premier League?
No.
Hmm.
So... I mean, I've never been his biggest fan.
Only completed a season once.
Yeah.
And that was just Sheffield United. Back in 05-06.
That's why I'm...
What a year.
It was a great year.
If I was 05-06... 06-07, in fact. I do apologise.
Yeah, that...
06-07. That was where they went down because, obviously, of Tevez and Mascherano.
Yeah, that's why I'm not his biggest fan.
Not because he couldn't manage his team and get enough points properly. It wasn't just because Tevez and Mascherano,
was
it?
I mean, that's why I'm surprised to hear him come out and start raving about us a little bit, because he's never really liked us ever since that moment. And I've always found it a little bit weird that he blamed us for that when his Sheffield United team beat West Ham at their ground.
3-0, weren't it?
3-0, when Tevez played in that game.
Yeah.
But he was still adamant that because Tevez was, you know, all that problem with Tevez, that it was hit that... No, he's like, that was the reason why they went down, but it's just because they weren't good enough.
Yeah, that's right. They were in a really strong position that season, weren't they, going into that? And it was in their hands.
To beat Wigan on the last day. I mean, if you know, you can't beat Wigan on the last day of the season to stay up, then you deserve to go down.
Yeah.
Interesting how Junior Hoilett's found himself back in the spotlight as well, playing a bit more century, playing as an attacker. This is a guy who, let's be fair, didn't have the best of starts to life at Cardiff City, but he's come back into the form because they don't have any strikers. He's leading the line for Warnock, who in fact turned round and said that they are... Well, Cardiff are going to be stepping up their search for new recruits from Europe this week. So, maybe a good opportunity to play them. We're going to turn round. We're going to take a break. Half an hour gone. At the Hawthorns, West Brom, nil, Brentford, nil. Yeah, we're going to take a pause. We're going to come back. We're going to get an opposition view as well and look ahead to that game properly.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
This is the Opposition View, looking ahead to the game tomorrow night. West Ham United taking on Cardiff City. Let's talk to Dominic Booth from walesonline.co.uk. Good evening, Dominic.
Good evening, how's it going?
Yeah, very well, thanks, pal. Thanks for joining us tonight. A couple of quick games in succession for both of... a couple of games back-to-back for these clubs. You know, it's not been long since the weekend. What was the feeling, first and foremost, after that win on Friday night for Cardiff?
Very, very positive. It was a game they probably felt like they had to win, because of previous results and how bad Cardiff's away form has been, but they've managed to make Cardiff City Stadium a bit of a fortress. So, yeah, confident. Obviously, yeah, as you've probably been talking about, West Ham have had a very good result the weekend as well, so it's quite interestingly poised, this one.
And what about Warnock himself? How do you think he's settling back into life in the Premier League? He insisted earlier on in the season that, you know, Cardiff are just there for the ride, if you like, and if someone else could come in and take the job on and could feel they could keep Cardiff up, then he'd be welcome to step aside. But he seems to be settling it back in nicely, and he's been received quite well, I find.
Yeah, probably better than people expected. I mean, obviously, he's got a lot of critics, a lot of detractors out there, but that's just fueled the fire, really, in Warnock. He's now past 70. That he just had celebrated his 70th birthday. And I think as this season has gone on and Cardiff have actually found that, you know, they can be competitive, it's no longer a case of let's just enjoy the ride, we're here to enjoy ourselves. It's, you know, we're here to stay up, and there's no reason why Cardiff can't on the displays that I've seen this season. Warnock knows that better than anyone, and you know, you can't just go up and just say, well, you know, it's a shot to nothing. It's a big, big opportunity for the club, you know, setting for the future, really.
Evening, Dominic. William Pugh here. Neil Warnock's obviously come out commenting about West Ham and their attack, and, you know, he's quite gushy about the front four and how envious he is and how much money we've spent on players like Anderson and Arnautovic. Do you think that's just think that's more of a ploy to prepare the Cardiff fans for the sort of performances teams likely to put in against West Ham tomorrow, or is it more of an attempt to get into the minds of the players and perhaps get some complacency from the West Ham side?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, a lot of teams, in fairness, about how much they spent, only because Cardiff have spent less than anyone and their budget is so low. So I wouldn't be put off by that, if you like. I think you know, he's going there knowing full well Cardiff can stop the West Ham attack no matter who plays, you know. So yeah, it's a bit of gamesmanship from Warnock. He likes to engage in a bit of that before games. Obviously, Bill Cardiff is the underdog, and anything they take, if they take a point, then it's a big bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, with Cardiff playing on Friday night and with the lack of resources, tends to come a lack of squad depth sometimes. But do you think the amount of rest that the Cardiff players would have had in comparison to West Ham is going to make any difference at all? Or do you not really think, even though there's a game coming up so quickly, that that'll make any difference?
Well, Cardiff are used to playing Saturday, Tuesday, or even, you know, Friday, Tuesday, or whatever. They did a lot of that last season in the Championship, and they were fantastic at turning those around and grinding out results. I think the way that Warnock's assistants work is that they get through these, you know, and they work hard no matter what.
Dominic, James here. Do you think that what can West Ham really expect us from Cardiff on Tuesday night? You mentioned that Cardiff's away form hasn't been great. West Ham are gonna be expected to, you know, have a lot more of the ball. Can we expect Cardiff just to sit back and go for the point?
No, I don't think they will, actually, because I think they've done that in games this season. It hasn't done them any favours at all. They even did it against Huddersfield. They definitely did it against Everton recently. And the way they went after Wolves, they sort of played a back three with not even wing backs with proper wingers. It was like the most attacking we've seen Cardiff this season. It really worked. I think Warnock will probably roll the dice on this one and feel like, with Southampton at home coming up, which is a game that Cardiff will feel they can win at the weekend, it's a bit of a shot to nothing and might as well go after West Ham, because obviously I think we've seen West Ham are vulnerable at the back.
Obviously, we saw West Ham take a similar approach against Manchester City last weekend. Not that I'm suggesting we're the same sort of prospect as Man City for a second, but do you think Warnock's savvy enough to realise that with some teams he can take that approach, but especially given his comments about West Ham's attacking threat, that he'd be naive not to at least consider it?
Yeah, it's difficult, because I sort of feel like if Cardiff do that, you know, Cardiff's defence is good, but it's made mistakes this season, and it's got a mistake in it, the whole back four, really. So I don't think Cardiff would be advised to do that, because West Ham just picked them off. West Ham have got enough strength in Arnautovic and Hernandez, obviously, in great form. I think Cardiff is waiting to be beaten if they do that. But if Cardiff try and step it up and offer something going forward. They've got threats to hurt West Ham, certainly from set pieces, certainly with some direct balls into the channels.
Who is it in the Cardiff team that Pellegrini and West Ham should be looking to nullify, particularly going forward? Is it Junior Hoylett, or you know, should we be sort of focusing our attention elsewhere as well?
Hoylett's been disappointing, to be honest. He scored a fantastic goal against Wolves that you probably all saw, but he's been really disappointing this season, considering he was their main attacking threat last season. I think he scored 10 goals from the wing. So I'd look more at Josh Murphy. He's been the standout player going forward this season, especially the way Cardiff are like to play on the break, using the width with Murphy, trying to isolate one of the two fullbacks either on the right or the left, and use his pace. He's probably been the player that most opposition fans have told me, wow, we're really impressed with, and signed for £10 million in the summer and looks like a bargain, really.
Dominic, Cardiff haven't got the worst run of fixtures coming up. There's some games in there that they'll certainly look at as being winnable. What do you think? We were just discussing about their chances of staying up. Obviously, there's some other teams around that area where you know there's some other weaknesses and other teams that will be struggling. Do you think it's a realistic expectation for them to stay up this season, or do you think it's going to be a really tough push?
Obviously, it's going to be really tough. I have said I covered them all last season, and I said as soon as the promotion was won, I think it's actually easier to stay up than it was for them to get up, which sounds sort of ridiculous considering the quality and the money spent in the Premier League, but the Championship is a horrendous league. You know, nothing really can prepare you for when teams drop into that. We're seeing that with Swansea and Stoke and the like struggling. So in terms of intensity, it's probably not that far off in the Premier League. Obviously, quality is a bit different. I genuinely have thought since day one that Cardiff can stay up because of the bottom six or seven being relatively poor in the Premier League, and that's been borne out so far. So I wouldn't change my statement from August, which was Cardiff can stay up, and it's by no means beyond the realms.
So what do you think for tomorrow then?
Well, we're coming against you at a bad time, that's for sure. Put Newcastle to the sword at the weekend. Newcastle have been pretty good defensively, I think, this season, so that's a very, very good result for you guys. I think Cardiff will score either 1-1 or 2-1 to you guys. Maybe you'll just shade it 2-1, but I think it'll be a really good game.
Yeah, Dominic, it's bound to be a decent one with both these sides involved. Thank you so much for joining us. Dominic Booth from WalesOnLoan.co.uk. Have a safe trip if you're coming up for the game tomorrow. That is your opposition view. We're going to carry on with our preview to the Cardiff game next. Look ahead to the game against Crystal Palace as well. And we'll be bringing your halftime score from the game at the Hawthorns. It's currently West Brom 0, Brentford 0. They've got 5 or so plus added on time to go there this evening.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Yeah, this is Love Sport Radio looking ahead to the game tomorrow night. West Ham United taking on Cardiff City. Anyone going at London Stadium under the lights?
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, going to do a bit of Christmas shopping in the club shop ahead of it?
Definitely not.
No.
You're not buying your West Ham Christmas jumper?
Nah. Nah, that's not me. Yet. I've got loads of Christmas jumpers. But no, West Ham Christmas jumper, nah.
Right. How come?
Nah. I don't know. I love Christmas, I love West Ham, but you don't really want to mix both your loves together. You want to kind of keep them separate, you know.
With the Wimbledon Christmas jumper is excellent this year. It's got a massive picture of Hayden the Womble on it, and it's got a 3D like nose and a 3D snowball.
Yeah, actually, brilliant. Thinking about it, I can't really see you in a
I mean, I love a Christmas jumper, but not West Ham one.
Give me your thoughts ahead of tomorrow. Look, you know, they're not going to be a pushover. They're not going to be, like a Man City. They're going to be a game where Well, it's going to be a game where Pellegrini is going to want to go and get 3 points. I wouldn't be surprised to see Hernandez back in there again, you know, after grabbing two at the weekend. If he can get one or two more tomorrow night, you're laughing. You've got yourself a player on your hands there who, right at the right time, has come into a bit of form. It could be an evening where you see someone like Andy Carroll come back, although would you want to risk him against a side who could become quite physical?
I think if Carroll features at all, it would be off the bench. But I think, no, I feel positive about tomorrow. I think it's easy, you know, when we get a bit used to it, being cautious about what could happen and, oh, Cardiff's going to turn up and they're going to be backs against the wall and we don't always do well. But if we talk about it, honestly, like we were talking about earlier on, our aspirations have got to be for top 10 minimum, you know, like top 8 hopefully at a push. And Cardiff are going to be in a relegation scrap, you'd imagine, at the end of the season. So if you look at it bigger picture, we should, you know, it's a game we should win. It might be difficult, but that's the Premier League, and I feel good about it.
Yeah, I think if you look at our form as well, yeah, the City game aside, we're playing some good football. Okay, the draw at Huddersfield, some people look at that as a bad result, but it's a point away from home, and I've always said you win your home games, you draw your, or get points at your away games, and you're looking pretty good. So, you know, I think our form has been good recently, the City game aside, and we're beginning to play in a way that I think we can expect to see us play under Pellegrini. Okay, he's only had one window. He needs a couple more really to build the squad that he wants, build the starting 11 that he wants. But you're right. We had a tough start, and it's understandable given the fixtures we had and given the amount of change that happened in the summer and what Pellegrini had to work with and how much he had to work with so soon. But beginning to see a team that is good enough to compete in the top 10, if not the top 8. And you're right, Cardiff are going to be in a relegation scrap, and we have to play with that mentality. We're not used to seeing West Ham play with that mentality, and I think, but we're beginning to see them really look like a team that is, you know, will play with that mentality moving forward. Because as I said at the beginning of the show, Pellegrini's spoken about playing like a big team. Okay, I'm not saying that we are a big team. We're far off being a big team in the way that he means. But if we can start playing like a big team, then that mentality, week in, week out, it sticks to you. And you can go into these games and play like a big team, and you can take 3 points without having to worry about we're going to lose here 1-0.
That's right. It'd be interesting what Dominic was saying there about the potential of Cardiff just coming at us and not playing that backs against the wall game, which certainly I've been guilty of assuming they're going to do, and listening to Warnock's comments, you think they might. But if they do come at us, the ideal would be exactly what we saw on the weekend, just get an early goal, because that's going to open the game up then, isn't it? It's going to force them to come out of their shells a bit. And if it does turn into one of those games where it's just you're just pitting two attacks against each other, then as Warnock's touched on already this week, you back our players far more than you were them, and so I think an early goal's key, and if we get that, then I think I'm confident we'll win the game convincingly.
He's been a massive critic of his lead striker Ken Zahore, who's in the Championship. The guy is an absolute weapon, you know, big, powerful striker, someone who gets about a bit and can really do some damage. At Warnock, you know, is criticised, and that's why you've seen the likes of Hoylett come back in. It'll be interesting to see how they get on tomorrow night at the London Stadium, a big old pitch as well, you know, an energy draining and energy zapping pitch, which Cardiff City will have to play on tomorrow night. Very quickly, at the Hawthorns, 0-0 between West Bromwich Albion and Brentford, that one at half time at the moment. Chaps, let's look ahead to the game against Crystal Palace. They're a team now who have picked up a home win, two goals that were massive for them, crucial for them. They've been very, very strange, Crystal Palace. It's amazing. Every week that goes by, you just hear about, you know, Crystal Palace haven't won again. Yet they always seem to be lurking outside of that relegation zone. They took a good step away from it this week in you know, their win against Burnley. How important was that win for them?
A friend of mine is a avid Crystal Palace fan. I think he was in the studio on Sunday, and he was saying that although it was an excellent win, he was at the game for them on the weekend.
29 shots, wasn't it?
He said Burnley were abject. He said he's never seen such a Burnley team play so badly under Dyche. And although he was obviously pleased that Palace had got the result, he said to me not to read anything into it whatsoever because Burnley lost the game as much as Palace won it. I think it's the age-old thing you talk about with Palace, isn't it, with Zaha and his influence on the team. And you know, if you look just from a West Ham point of view, there's very few players in the Palace squad who you'd necessarily envy, is there, or you'd swap with anyone in ours. And I, again, it's one we should be confident going into, isn't it? We'd expect to finish above them in the table at the end of the year. It's another home game, London Derby. We should be winning that as well.
We should be confident. I just see Palace as a team that they're not a bogey team for us. We have beaten them, you know, a couple of times over the last few seasons, but it's always a team that I always find a tricky team because they're, without being disrespectful, and I don't know, but they're a plucky London team, aren't they? And they will grind results out and they will stay in the Premier League. I can't ever see them going down for a long time because they will grind results out. As long as they got Zaha in the team. I think I read that at the weekend it was the first time that they'd won without Zaha scoring since February or something, which is a mental stat.
Yeah.
But it shows how important he is, and by all accounts, he doesn't want to leave the club. He's happy. He's happy seeing out his career there. And you know, if they can stay in the Premier League, the longer they stay in the Premier League, the more money they get, the more they can reinvest in that team. And I think we've just got to be hopeful that they start Coate, because they start Coate in midfield, we might have a little bit of room.
He's been brilliant for them though.
But he's so lazy.
Do you know what? I think he's found himself a good home there. I really think he's found himself a good home, especially with Milivojevic as well. And they've missed Kabay, and I think Coate has done a really good job there. And I've read some bits on social media this week about people who have just sort of forgotten about him, but he's does such an influential job there. He lets people like Max Meyer, who grabbed the goal this weekend. I really like him. Looks like an absolutely top class player. He lets Max Meyer go on and do his job. And I think you'll be surprised about Coyote.
I don't think I will, mate, because in his first season at West Ham, he was all the things that you just said. And then he just dies off. And you know, he was brilliant. I think it was Allardyce's last season. Even in Bilic's first season as well, he was quite good. But I don't know whether he just got too settled or whether he just didn't like the system or whatnot, but he ended up dying off. And I did warn a lot of my mates who are Palace fans. I just went, okay, first season, watch him, you'd be like, oh, I quite like him. But then you wait, give it a couple of seasons and he just won't. You'd be like, get rid of him.
Just a shadow of his old self.
Yeah, I love the bloke. He's such a great character to have about in the dressing room, and he's always good laugh when he did like media stuff for the club. He was always great fun to watch. But after a while on the pitch, it was, you know, you're just so lazy.
It was the right time for him to go, for sure, wasn't it?
I think. Definitely. Yeah.
By the time he left, everyone had kind of had enough, and I think it was good the way he did, because as time goes on, the fans still will remember him for the good things he'd done at the club, wasn't it?
He scored some important goals for us.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, obviously he'll score for Palace on the weekend as well.
Yeah, him and Tompkins. who is one player I would have back at West Ham, James Tompkins. Yeah. I was gutted when we sold him.
Yeah,
absolutely gutted. And every Palace fan I speak to, they'll go, you know, what a player they've got. They can't believe they've got him off us for was it 10 million quid as well?
Yeah, up to 12 or something. Wasn't
it? Which on reflection, they've had a deal there, because he is a good centre-half. And okay, we've got a good centre-half pairing in Balbuena and Diop now, but
we didn't as soon as he left, we didn't.
And if we could have one player off him, obviously Zaha's out of bounds, I'd definitely take Tompkins back.
Chaps, did you know that it's the Ballon d'Or tonight, the Ballon d'Or Awards? And
it's been leaked again, isn't it?
Well, the top 10 has been revealed. Kevin De Bruyne, in no particular order, by the way. We know a few finishing places for a few of the candidates, but Kevin De Bruyne is one of them. Antoine Griezmann, Eden Hazard, Harry Kane, Kylian Mbappe, Lionel Messi, Luka Modric, Cristiano Ronaldo, Mo Salah and Raphael Varane. This evening, though, we have found out that Lionel Messi has finished fifth. For the first time, he's outside of the top two. The first time since 2006, Lionel Messi. And that a lot of people are attributing to the Argentinian mess at the World Cup. That he hasn't had the best of seasons. Mo Salah, the top Premier League player, is in sixth. Rafael Varane is the highest ranked defender overall in seventh. So we are edging closer to finding out who this season's Ballon d'Or winner is. Ada Hegerberg of Lyon has won the inaugural Women's Ballon d'Or.
I think Modric's going to get it. I mean, I don't particularly agree with it, but at the same time, I mean, we all know that they don't take what the player's done. It's about what the player's done with his teams and, you know, in his country. And Croatia got to the World Cup final. He's won the Champions League. Mm. He's going to win it, I think.
I think Mbappe's going to be sniffing around, isn't he?
You never know. Harry Kane came 10th. 9th was Man City's Kevin De Bruyne. 8th, Chelsea's Eden Hazard. Just a few from 29 to 11. Alisson Becker in at 25th. Sadio Mane at 22nd. Roberto Firmino at 19th. Sergio Ramos 19th as well. These are all equal votes. 17th was Gareth Bale. Paul Pogba 15th.
Does that mean Mark Noble's around about 12th?
Around there. Thibaut Courtois 14th, Luis Suarez 13th, Neymar 12th, 11th, N'Golo Kante. So yeah, we'll be hopefully finding out inside the next hour who the winner of the Ballon d'Or is. Chaps, let's have your predictions for tomorrow night. West Ham United versus Cardiff at the London Stadium.
2-0 West Ham.
Early goal and then go on to win 3-0.
3-0,
nice. Yeah.
Yeah, like it.
And what about West Ham United versus Crystal Palace Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, a London derby at the London Stadium?
Bit more difficult, but I fancy us to get on the score sheet again. 3-1.
2-1.
I reckon I'm going to go for a 1-1 in that, you know.
No. Three points.
You're not allowed, yeah.
3 points, 2-1. Three in a row.
That's your choice entirely. Of course, this is available via lovesportradio.com on demand. Make sure you check it out. Thank you very much, Will. Thank you very much, James.
Pleasure.
Cheers, Jones, Aaron. From West Ham World. It's Love Sport Radio with your West Ham United fan show.